Well, good morning, MC3. Good to have you all here with us today. Hope you guys are awake, ready to go, and ready to have a good time. Today we're going to be talking about Joseph. But before we get there, hey, listen, there's a lot of things that are happening tonight and then next week. So we still got some things happening. If you are used to like Wednesday nights and you're like, man, we didn't have Wednesday night last week, I get it, but we got a lot of other things happening. So just real quick, you'll hear more about this when Richie gets up here later on, but we have got tonight, there's a ladies' dinner happening. And if you're like, I didn't know this ladies' dinner. Where's this ladies' dinner been? I don't know what's happening. Let me just say this. If you haven't gotten the Monday email, you're like, Monday email? I didn't know there was a Monday email. What's a Sunday email about, right? So if you don't get the Monday email, we encourage you to click that little QR code in front of you. It'll get you to the link tree. Just kind of put on there your name and your email address and send it to us if you haven't done that. That way you'll get on the Monday email and just kind of put in there, hey, I want to get the Monday email, whatever Art was talking about, Monday email. That way you can kind of know what's happening around the church a little bit. And then every Monday, guess what happens? It's in your email, right? And you can check it real quick and see. Usually comes in the afternoon and maybe you can go, hey, Tuesday, I'm going to check it Tuesday. Tuesday it'll be there. You can see all the things that are happening. So tonight, there's a ladies' dinner, and so I'm sure it's going to be something absolutely amazing. I'm not sure what the menu is, but it's going to be absolutely amazing. So if you don't have anywhere to go, if you have an RSVP, talk to Carrie Duncan, Cecilia Robbins, and a couple other people. You can ask them and see. They can get you all signed up for that. And then next Sunday, we got church, obviously. But then, and we want you to just, Christmas it out next Sunday, right? And so just come, Christmas sweater, whatever you want. I mean, just do your thing, right? And then that evening, we want you to go eat lunch, get a small power nap in, and then get back here for the Christmas variety show. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting to be a part of. Afterwards, we will have desserts, coffee, and I think there's like hot wassail type stuff, things that are happening afterwards. So it's a great opportunity. So make sure you listen to what Richie's saying. Don't check out and look, don't be playing Candy Crush at that time, right? So you'll know what's happening, right? So there's a lot of things going on. So anyways, we've been in a sermon series. We are trying our best because most of us have probably heard the stories before, right? You've heard all the Christmas stories and all of that. Last week, when we did the parade, it was amazing to hear the people go, oh, look, there's baby Jesus. Oh, look at the wise men. Oh, look at, and then we found out that Caleb and Jessica, i.e. Mary and Joseph, made it into the official parade Facebook. And so they're right there, and so famous, right? And so, yeah, they're taking autographs. And so afterwards, you can get their autograph. But, we kind of know the stories, right? We kind of been around it. What we're trying to do in this week and next week is to try to put our feet in the sandals of some of the characters that were there. I mean, these are real people who were really going through it. They didn't know how everything was going to work out. And so we've been trying our best to experience Christmas kind of in how they experienced it. And so today we're going to be talking about Joseph. But before we get there, let me ask you this. So what do you do? What do you do when things don't go quite as planned? What do you do when things don't go quite as you have had them planned? Often you might hear me say, I love this because it's accurate that no plan withstands contact from the enemy, right? You can have your best plan as a school teacher until all the kids start coming in and you got one kid throwing up and you're like, oh no, I don't know what to do now, right? Didn't see that coming. And so what do you do when things don't go as planned? Yeah, if you ever grew up in the 1980s, maybe you watched the A-Team. Anybody ever watched the A-Team? I'm not talking about the movie, talking about the show, and Hannibal would always say with a cigar out of his mouth, I love it when a plan comes together. But the question is, how often does a plan really come together, right? And most of the time, for most of us, what we had slated sometimes for the day or what we even had slated for our life doesn't always work out that way. Life rarely works out the way we expect it. Life rarely works out the way that we expect it. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, where it just says this, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And so maybe you've heard the old adage that if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans, right? Maybe you've heard that before. You know, there's an interesting dance between our free will that God gives us, because we have free will to do what we want to do, and God's will. There's an interesting interplay that happens with that. And so when we look at all of this, we kind of look at our life, and my question is, so what do we do when things just don't work out? What do we do when things just don't work out? There was a time where if you would have told me that, Art, you're going to be a minister, and on Sundays, you're going to preach. Every Sunday, you're going to preach. I would have laughed in your face, right? I've got friends that if you were to tell them Art's going to be a preacher and he's going to preach on Sundays, they would have laughed in your face, right? And so it's interesting how God orders our steps, how God guides us. I got to thinking about this the other day, about the fact that I wasn't going to go to Bible college, absolutely did not want to go to Bible college, then finally decided, okay, God, you win, I'm going to Bible college. And my dad said, you're going to meet your wife there. And I went, yeah, right. And he was right. And so don't tell my dad that, right? So he's smarter than I give him credit for, right? And back in those days, you didn't think your dads were smart, but they really are. And so it's interesting how God works that out. Jessica and I were just in the cafe on Wednesday night before all the kids started getting here. And I was kind of waiting for some things because the students met to have their party together. And so Jessica, by the way, is Caleb's wife, our daughter-in-law. And so I just kind of said, you know, I'm just excited that God put you two together. And she started talking about, you know, had we not taken one class that both of us decided we didn't think we needed to take the class, but we thought, I don't know if I should take the class or not take the class. She said, if we both hadn't have taken that class, I don't know if we would ever had the opportunity to meet. Interesting how God kind of makes that happen, and how things kind of all these little things that if you didn't do something, right? And this is what we do a lot of times. I don't know if you do this. I know I do this. I get the woulda, coulda, shouldas. If I just would have done this, if I could have just thought about that, I should have done over here. And you get those woulda, coulda, shouldas going. And, you know, if I just would have, you know, did this, or at the end of the day, if I would have done that. But you know what? God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. And my guess is we've all been there. My guess is that you, as well as I, have had those times where we think, I should have done, could have done, I would have done. But that's a part of our journey in life. That's a part of this life journey. And I think we can all attest to the fact that at one point in time, when you were kids, maybe when you were in high school, maybe even right now, you're like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. But my guess is somewhere along the way, you kind of had a plan for how you saw your life working out, kind of how you saw it kind of, going. Maybe it was a pipe dream at one point in time. Maybe as a young person, you thought, I'm going to be a professional athlete. That's what I want to do. I want to play professional baseball or basketball or football or whatever it is. You know, I want to be a professional wrestler. I don't know. Just, you know, I want to do that, and just didn't work out, right? Maybe for some, it was, I want to be a doctor. For others, I want to be a veterinarian. Then you found out, you know, how much school you got to do for both of those. Or for some, hey, I want to be a rapper, right? Or for some, I want to be a dancer. Or others, I want to be a YouTuber. And somewhere along the way, life gets in the way, and for whatever reason, we don't see those plans through, or those plans fall through, and things don't just quite work out the way that maybe we had intended that they worked out. And so I think about this a lot, especially when I think about Joseph. I'll be honest with you, I told the crew up here earlier, as we kind of had our little run through, we kind of did a little Devo at the front end of the stick. And by the way, best worship ever is when you guys aren't here. It's interesting, right? It's just best worship ever. Not today. They did an awesome job today. But I'm just saying that there's just something about the raw purity of just having no one out here and just we're just singing, having a great time. And so we were talking about how that sometimes our plans don't work out. And I look at Joseph, and I've never really picked apart his life like I did this week. It's been a lot of fun to do that. But when I think about someone who's probably whose plans for his life didn't work out the way he had thought, the way he had envisioned, I'm guessing it's probably Joseph. Joseph probably had a life where he went, man, I didn't see that coming. Man, I didn't see that coming. Man, I didn't see that coming. And the hits just kept coming for the guy. I think it's Joseph. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start right there. By the way, if you got a paper Bible, I'm going to tell you something. It is, I don't know if you saw this the other day, but Bible sales are through the roof. People are searching Scripture now more than ever, and so let me encourage you that if you're like, dude, I don't have a paper Bible, come and see me. We will get you one. We will make sure that you have a paper Bible. There's nothing better than a paper Bible to kind of write in and draw in and underline and highlight and draw arrows and circles. And you can do that. It's not against the law. Jesus isn't going to go, no, you can't make it to heaven because you wrote in my book, right? He's not going to do that, right? And so it is great. And here's the great thing about it. Once you do that, let's say someone goes, I don't have a Bible. Wish I had a Bible. You're like, dude, here you go. Have my Bible. And they've already got it marked up for them. And that's pretty cool to be able to do that. And so I encourage you, if you don't have one, get one. And if you go, I don't know how to get one, come see me and we'll make sure that you get one. And so in Matthew chapter 1, what we're going to find here, Joseph is an interesting character. There's some things we don't know about Joseph, right? There's a lot we don't really know about him. For instance, we don't really know how old he was when he is first introduced to us in the story. We don't know. I mean, we just have no clue how old he is. We don't know how he and Mary met. Now, if they were living in the same small town, then more than likely they kind of knew one another. Maybe they saw each other across the way at Starbucks and, you know, kind of made googly eyes at one another. And, you know, he kind of slipped her a piece of paper saying, here's my phone number, that sort of thing. Well, I don't know. Could be that their parents knew one another and it was an arranged marriage. We really just don't know how they met. We also don't know what happened to Joseph in the time that Jesus, after he was 12 years old, when we last see Joseph, when Jesus was hanging out at the temple, when everybody else went home, he stuck around, right? We don't know what happened between when Jesus was 12 and when he's 30. Something happened in there that Joseph is no longer in the story. More than likely passed away. We assume he did, but we don't know what happened to him. He's just not there anymore in the story, which is kind of interesting. And so his life is a little bit mysterious in some ways, a little mysterious. But there are some things that we do know about Joseph from the scriptures. For instance, we know that Joseph was a carpenter because later on, Jesus is called the carpenter's son. And so he was apparently a carpenter. We also know that he was a man of very few words, very few words. In fact, Joseph is never quoted in the Bible. In fact, this makes a great trivia question. Remember this for down the road, okay? But Joseph doesn't say anything in Scripture. He does a lot of things, but he doesn't say anything. And so there's no record of him ever speaking one word in all of Scripture. Also, too, Joseph was an earthly father figure for Jesus. He provided, cared for Jesus, even though Joseph was not Jesus's father, right? And that was of the Holy Spirit placed right inside Mary's womb. And so Joseph wasn't necessarily his father, but Joseph, here's what we do know. Joseph was from a kingly line. He was from the line of David. And so he was of royal blood in many ways. And if Joseph had been born several generations before, he would have been born in a palace. He would have been born in a palace. But as it was, and as the timing of things happened, he was born in a time where he was just a regular guy. And he was just a carpenter. You know, in some ways you kind of think, Joseph, if he'd just been born a little sooner, right? Got to be quicker than that, Joseph. Come on, man, right? But he didn't have anything to do with it, right? In fact, what's interesting, Matthew starts out his book with the genealogies. How many of you, be honest, skip the genealogies when you're reading your own Bible? How many of you skip them? All right, okay. The rest of you, lying, right? Here's what I do. I let the guy on YouVersion read it for me, right? I just follow along. But what's interesting is, and I've never read genealogies at a sermon before. I'm only going to read part of it, but I want to start here at verse 12, because what we see is we see this line from Abraham to David, and then we see from David down to Joseph. And I want to read from just a little bit of part of the genealogy in verse 12. This is what it says. after the exile to Babylon. So by the way, Israel or Judah had sinned, and so they got carted off to Babylon, right? And so after that exile, some of those folks were allowed to come back home, right? After the Persians conquered the Babylonians, the Persians were a little bit nicer. And they said, hey, listen, anybody that wants to can go back to Israel. And so the next generation kind of went back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the wall, rebuilt the temple, those types of things. And here are some of Joseph's ancestors. It says Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Maybe you've heard that name in the book of Ezra. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiahud. Abiahud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim, Akim, the father of Eliahud, Eliahud, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Mathan, Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. He says in verse 17, thus were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. And so Joseph barely missed out on his palace, just barely missed out on his palace a few generations. Isn't it funny? Funny how things work out. It's always funny to me how things in life kind of work out. In fact, as we just said, life rarely works out the way we expect it. Life rarely works out the way we expect it. How many of you have never expected that you would find yourself here? Wherever here for you is, right? And I'm not talking about the physical space that you're in right now, but I'm talking about wherever here is for you in your life right now. How many of you, if you think back, go, you know, I never saw myself doing this. I never saw myself here in this spot. I never saw myself in this space. I never saw myself with this problem. I never saw myself with this really good job. I never saw myself where I am right now. How many of you have ever thought, I never, you know, as you're, maybe you thought that, like you're in the doctor's office. You're like, how'd I ever get here? And maybe you're in the lawyer's office. And you're like, I don't know how it's all come to this. Or maybe you're in the funeral home. And you're like, how did I get here? Maybe it's in the unemployment line. And you're like, how did all this happen? You know, sometimes we find ourselves in unexpected places, and life rarely works out the way that we expect it sometimes. And I wonder if that's the way it was for Joseph. I wondered if that's the way it was for him and for Mary as this child is coming into this world. In fact, what was it like for Joseph when he found out that Mary was having a baby? Because that was unexpected for Joseph. Never saw that one coming, right? What about when he found out, right? How did that work out? Did he hide his disappointment? Was he able to work through some of his emotions? Did he go through a little denial, going, no, not Mary? No, Mary wouldn't. I don't know. Mary would she? I don't think she would. Was there anger? Like, oh, you know, I can't believe this. It happened to me. Maybe there's a little regret on his part. Maybe a little depression, thinking, why do things always happen to me? Why is this happening to me? Or eventually, just the acceptance of the whole thing. Okay, here I am. I'm not sure what to do with this, but it's just the way it is. You know, those are the stages of grief. And we all go through them in some way, shape, or form. When things happen, disappointments come our way. Some things we go through quickly, some places we get stuck in. And I'm curious, did Joseph go through some of those things? We don't really know. We have no clue. Scripture doesn't tell us about any of that. But in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, this is what it does say. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, before the actual wedding part of the night, remember back in those days, you would get together with families and you'd go, okay, I want to marry her. She wants to marry me. Or there's an arranged marriage. And so there would be money exchanged, right? There'd be a dowry that you had to pay. And so once that dowry is paid, then you are kind of officially engaged. It's an official engagement, and you had to have a certificate of divorce to break the engagement. And so at that time, Joseph would have gone off and try to prepare a place to get ready for Mary, and Mary would kind of do her thing. And that, so before all of that, Scripture says she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, some versions say because he was a righteous man, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So let's kind of pause and unpack that for a second, because there's a lot in that, in those verses that are happening probably in their lives. There's a lot of tension, a lot of stress, and a lot of uncertainty that's happening in their lives right about this time, right? And so when our life's dreams and expectations are dashed to pieces, when life seems impossible, what do we do? What do we do with that, right? Well, we take a lesson from Joseph. What's interesting about Joseph is when life is difficult, what does he do? He acts righteously before God. And so for us, when life gets difficult, when it gets hard, when it gets a struggle, what do? When life is difficult, we act righteously before God because God is always watching. God is always watching, and he's taking notes. He's taking notes. Scripture says at the end of the day, end of the days, that the books are open. Now, there's the book of life, and if your name's not in there, then you're in trouble, right? But there's also other books. What are in those books? Everything we say, everything we think, everything we do, all of it's written down. And it's kind of crazy to think, right, that that's there. Scripture tells us that. That's kind of crazy. And so what do we do when life gets difficult? We act righteously before God. That's what Joseph did, because God is watching. And so the temptation when bad things come our way, when struggles happen, when things unexpected pop up that we don't see happening, the expectation is, and we've heard it from other people that have been wronged before, you know, right? They've taken offense of what's happened. What do they want to do? They take things in their own hands. I want to get justice for myself. Or I want to make sure that I exact revenge on people. So people say, I have every right to act in anger. I have every right to exact revenge. I have every right to seek reprisal from that person who wronged me or who did that to me. After all, doesn't the Bible say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? Doesn't it say that? So why shouldn't I, right? Someone hits me, I'm hitting them back. Why shouldn't we do that? Well, Joseph could have taken that dark road with Mary, but he chose not to. He chose not to. He could have used his disappointment and his discouragement to rationalize his next steps, right? To go, okay, now, I mean, think about this for a second. He literally and legally could have taken Mary and dragged her to the religious leaders, cried adultery. It's not mine. I didn't do it. We didn't have relations. That wasn't mine. And he could have tried to even get her stoned. Now, that didn't happen very much back in those days because you had to have two witnesses, someone to witness the man and the woman together. And that rarely happened. And so yet he could have done that. He could have, in his discouragement, in his anger, he could have tried to make a public spectacle of Mary, right? Embarrass her, dragging her name through the mud. Could have went on Facebook and just, you know, put a bunch of comments, right? Facebook posts that make sure that he runs her down because of what happened to him. Could have done that. But he doesn't do that. But Joseph, oddly enough, chooses to act righteously. He chose to act in mercy and in grace and was willing just to simply walk away quietly, just to divorce her quietly. So here's the question I have for all of us. What do we do? What do we do when life doesn't work out the way that we expect it? Well, I think we should remember what Joseph has done, that when life is difficult, we act righteously before God. We act righteously before him. Could you imagine what it must have been like for him? Could you imagine what that in between, you know, those, if you look at verse 19, look at verse 20, you kind of go, wonder how much time was in between that. Was it a few hours? Was it a few days? Was it a few weeks? How you know, what was going on there between Joseph and Mary? What was going on? Had to be a tough time for Joseph. And had to be a tough time for Mary too. We'll talk about her next week. But I think about how uncertain their futures would have seemed to them. Like, life is over. What am I going to do? You know, for Mary, I got this baby. What's going to happen? For Joseph, like, man, I had everything all set. Now this happens. I guess it just didn't work out. What in the world? They had no idea what laid ahead. You and I, we hear this story all the time around this time of year, right? We know, we're like, Joseph, chill out, man. It's going to be okay. The next verse is coming. Don't worry about it. But they didn't know that. They had no clue. They had no clue where their journey would take them, what would be the next steps. And then what we find is that God steps in and gives Joseph some perspective. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, very next verse, it says this. We are told, but, after he had considered this, after Joseph had considered divorcing Mary quietly, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, and here's the makeup of Joseph. Here's what really makes the man. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. So in other words, he held off the honeymoon night, right? And he gave him the name Jesus. He did exactly what the Lord had commanded him through the angel. And so what do we do? What do you and I do when we are faced with disappointment, with discouragement? What happens to us? What should we do when we're facing uncertainty? What do we do when life is unexpected, when unexpected things happen? When life gets difficult, what do we do? When life gets difficult, do what Joseph did. Trust in God. Trust in him. That's what Joseph did. Listen to this. Listen, truth isn't given out easily. It's not given out easily, especially when the wheels of our life are falling off, right? Trust isn't given out easily, especially when the wheels of our life are falling off and running out in different directions. When tough times come, we typically want to try to take control, don't we? I got to manage this. I got to manage the damage, right? I got to manage the situation. I got to control everything. But some, or maybe I should say most of the time, a lot of things are beyond our control. A lot of things are beyond our control. Think about the time that Jesus was on the boat. Think about that with his disciples. Jesus is on the boat. And in Mark 4, Jesus clearly tells them, he says in Mark 4:35, he says, that day it says evening came, and he said to his disciples, he said to them, he didn't ask a question. It's not, what do you guys think? He says, let's go over to the other side. It's a statement. It's a command. It's what's going to happen. Let's go over to the other side. Right? That right there is the word of God. Jesus is God. Those are his words. It's the very word of God. Let's go over to the other side, right? And so whenever God says something, you can take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank. So verse 36 happens. It says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, took Jesus along, just as he was in the boat. And there was also other boats with them. Things are normal until they're not. Verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped, right? And where was Jesus this whole time? Where is Jesus? He's in the back of the boat sleeping on a cushion, right? Scripture says, verse 38, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion, sleeping like a baby, right? Probably rocked him to sleep a little bit, you know? Here he is, 30-some years old, and he's sleeping through the storm. The disciples, right, trying to gain control of the situation, trying to control everything. The disciples woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care? Don't you give a rip if we're going to drown? And then Jesus does the unthinkable. Verse 39 says he got up, right? Maybe wiped out the sleep out of his eyes. And he said to the wind and the waves, be quiet, be still. And the wind died down. It was completely calm. And then he turns to his disciples and he says something very odd. If you don't think about what he just said in verse 35, these two connect. He says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith? In other words, where's your trust? Where's your trust? Did I not tell you that we're going over to the other side? I just said it. We are going to go over to the other side. Did you not believe me when I said we were going to make it there? And their reaction to Jesus is probably our reaction when God steps in our world, steps in our life, when things are going wrong in our little storm, they were terrified and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. You see, the disciples didn't anticipate the rough waters. They did not expect that was going to happen. Even though some of them were veteran fishermen, still didn't expect that to happen. And yet it did. They assumed it was going to be smooth sailing, that life was going to be easy. You got Jesus in the boat after all. How can it get any easier than that? And the disciples who had Jesus literally in the boat went through a storm. How much more you and I, as followers of Jesus, are going to go through storms too? It's going to happen, right? We may assume that, now I've got Jesus now in my life, life's going to be easy, smooth sailing. It's going to be piece of cake. Sorry, that's not the way it works. Because we're still in a world full of sin. And sin mucks things up. It just messes everything up around us and in us and with us. It just does. Life rarely works out the way we expect it. It just does. Even though we may try to control the scenario, sometimes we can't control the scenario. Steve Sobel writes in his blog, he says, we cope better when we can connect all the dots. Here's the problem. Life doesn't always work like that. The storms of life are one example of this. And I love this. Listen, if you don't hear anything else, this is important. But life is not a puzzle to be solved. It is a mystery to be lived. At the core of this mystery is a God who longs for us to trust him in the middle of the mystery. And therein lies the rub, trusting God when it doesn't make sense. And so this life isn't always easy, and it's mysterious. We don't know how our life is going to pan out the rest of this day, or in the next week, or in the next month, or in this next new year that we're about to approach. We don't know what it's going to bring, but we know the Lord, and he's going to walk with us through all of it. And it's a mystery, and it's supposed to be that way, because we just put our trust in him. And this is what Joseph did. This is what Joseph did with his disappointment and his adversity. When it came calling, he trusted in God and put his faith in action. He put his faith in action. We would do well to do the same thing, to take a lesson from Joseph that when life is difficult, trust in God. Trust in him. And if you're keeping count now in Joseph's life, think about this, right? If you're keeping count, so far, Joseph's life has been a roller coaster, right? Like none other. He went from being pledged to be married to this lady named Mary, to having his heart crushed, thinking that she had stepped out on him, to having an angel show up and go, dude, hang on, chill out. You know, right? He delivers this message saying the truth about Mary, about the child, the Christ child and all of that. The truth about the child that she's carrying is from the Lord. He's going to be the Messiah. Just chill out. It's okay. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And so he's like, oh, whew, you know, that's a relief, right? And so he does. He goes ahead and he takes Mary as his wife. Things are great until they're not. Because they get in the mail. Guess what, Joseph? You and Mary now got to travel all the way to Bethlehem. 90 miles. She's pregnant, about to give birth, and now they've got to go 90 miles to Bethlehem because some Caesar a long way away says, I want to count everybody in the empire. And so now they got to pack up the donkey, and now they got to walk 90 miles all the way to Bethlehem. They get into Bethlehem, and they get moved into the manger scene. Right, where all the animals are. And so Jesus is born. He's in the manger. And all of a sudden, shepherds come sauntering up, telling this story. Dude, you wouldn't believe what happened. We were out in the field, and these angels came, and they're like, dude, you got to see this baby. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's laying in a manger. And here you are right here. He's Christ the Lord. This is amazing. And they go and tell everybody about it. Man, Mary and Joseph have been going, what in the world's going on? Scripture says that Mary pondered all these things and treasured them in her heart. We don't know what Joseph did. Joseph may have went, what's next, right? Man, my life is crazy. This is crazy. And so after that, they decide, maybe because it's hard to travel with a young child, and so they don't go back to Nazareth. They hang out in Bethlehem, and we don't know how long. Could have been a year, could have been 2 years. We don't know how long. They just kind of stuck around in Bethlehem, which kind of makes sense because now you got family in town because all his family were there. They got to get counted, and so Jesus gets to, well, even though he's a baby, gets to hang out with all of his cousins and stuff like that, which is kind of cool. And so he's in Bethlehem. them until they're sitting there, and then all of a sudden they get a knock at the door. They open the door, and now there's these magi that are there. We don't know how many magi are there. There were three gifts. We don't know how many magi. And all the so they, then they come down, they bow down to Jesus, and they give him kingly gifts: gold, frankincense, myrrh. That they had to be going, what in the world is going on? I get it. He's the Messiah. Never saw this coming, right? And so, could you imagine laying your head in a pillow going, can you believe that? We were struggling with money trying to figure it out. Now we get these kingly gifts. That's amazing. That's awesome. And you think, this is the best time ever. We are gonna buy us a house in Bethlehem. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Until it's not. Joseph falls asleep. The angel says, hey, Joseph, you got to get up, man. Get up. Pack your bags. We need you to get to Egypt because Herod's coming after the baby. Get up. Get out now. And so they got up in the middle of the night, packed their bags, and they headed out to Egypt. Never saw that one coming. Never had thought I had to go to Egypt now, and that's where he's at. Could you imagine the roller coaster ride that that Joker went on? Because he is simply helping and providing for the Messiah that is coming, has come into the world. And so we're told in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 and 16, that when the Magi had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, said, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And so what's he do? That's what he does. He gets up. He got up, took the child and his mother during the night, left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. That's a long time. Wasn't expecting that one to happen. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. And when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, not just Bethlehem, but all the areas, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he learned from the Magi. Joseph never saw any of that coming. Talk about uncertainty. You would think that raising the Son of God would have been an easy gig. You'd think that God would have made the path so smooth, so easy. You would have thought that that would have been the reality of the situation, but that's not what happens. Sin makes everything in our lives difficult. Trying to navigate this sinful world is like trying to navigate a dark room where somebody had strewn all the Legos out and you can't see them. You ever step on a Lego? Yikes, that hurts. Maybe you've seen the meme where the doctor says on a scale of 1 to stepping on a Lego, how much pain are you in, right? Sometimes going through life, it's like that. You just don't know when you're going to step on a Lego. You just don't know when it's going to happen. So what do you do? What do you do when life gets difficult? What do we do? What are we supposed to do? Well, I think we take a lesson from Joseph that when life is difficult, follow God's plan. Follow God's plan. It's what he did. God said, here's what I want you to do. That's what he did. How do we follow God's plan? Because my guess is you probably haven't had an angel show up and say, hey, here's what's going to happen, and this is what I need you to do, right? So how do we follow God's plan? Well, we do the same thing. We read God's word, right? Where do you find God's word? Find it in the scripture, right? We read God's word. You might look at Joseph's life and think, man, I never thought that much about the ups and downs of Joseph. I never thought that much about any kind of disappointments he might have had or discouragements or anything like that. But listen, just like you, his life wasn't easy. His life was not easy. He was handed a tough assignment from God. It was a tough assignment. And my guess is you've probably already found out that life is hard. Life is tough. There are no easy days. No easy days. You just don't know what's about to happen. I know I've mentioned this before as an illustration, but I can't. When I think about this, I think about Saving Private Ryan. If you've ever seen that movie, where it opens up and he's on the beach and he's struggling to get through the water and struggling to get, you know, past it with a hail of bullets coming at him and bombs going off. He gets shell shocked twice and he can't hear and people are talking at him and he's just trying to make it up the beach. And finally, when he gets up the beach, they then are able to figure out what they're going to do next. And then at the end of the day, they've kind of won that battle. And there's a few other days that have went on. And so the captain comes in and he sees his commanding officer. It's this Tom Hanks' character. And the commanding officer basically just says, that was a tough one, John. That's why I gave it to you. And then he says, I got another one for you. And that's sometimes the way it is in life. Sometimes we go through tough things. We think, whew, I'm glad that's over with. And then God goes, hang on, I got another one for you. I got another situation that's going to pop up. What do you do when that happens, right? Because life rarely works out the way we expect it. So what do we do when that happens? What do you do when the storms of life just kind of pop up out of nowhere? What do we do when we get the bad news? What do we do when problems arise? What do you do when your dreams fizzle out and you don't know where to turn? What do you do when life gets hard, difficult, seemingly impossible? Do you lean into fear? Do you lean into despair? Do you throw a pity party for yourself? Do you assume the fetal position? What do we do? No, we don't do any of that. We don't do any of that. You're a follower of Jesus. You're a child of God, citizen of heaven. You're a kingdom follower. You expect the unexpected. You know that life rarely works out the way you expect it will. And you do what Joseph did. You act righteously before God. You trust in God. And then you follow his plan. Even if it's just one step at a time through the sand, which makes everything more difficult. And here's the thing. You never, ever, ever give up. Never, ever, ever give up. You never know that what you're going through now or what you will go through will help someone else out down the road who will go through the same thing that's thinking, I just want to give up. I just want to give up. You may have the opportunity to help them out. What would it look like if we lived our life knowing that life is not a puzzle to be solved, but it's a mystery to be lived? That there is a God who longs for us to trust him in the middle of the mystery. What would it look like if we trusted God even when it didn't make sense to us? Even when it doesn't make sense what God says in his word, but yet I'm going to follow what his word says anyways. My friends, if we could do that, if we could really do that, then we would honestly be walking faithfully with God. And that's what Joseph did. What's interesting is, what's what I told the group here, it just kind of hit me as we were talking about this, that even though we don't have any record of Joseph ever saying anything, here's the thing, you and I can say a lot of things, right? We can talk is cheap, as the old adage goes. But what's interesting is Joseph isn't recorded saying anything. But what is recorded is what he does. His faithfulness, his obedience is recorded. And at the end of the day, that's what I want for myself, and that's what I want for you as well. For our faithfulness to be recorded, that we just simply followed after the Lord. We trusted in him, and we followed his word. Let me encourage you today that if you can relate to Joseph on some level, because listen, Christmas time for some is great. Yay! For others, not so much. It kind of runs the opposite gambit for some, right? And if you can relate to Joseph on some level, if your life's been tough, maybe you're going through a difficult situation, let me encourage you to either put your trust in Jesus for the very first time, putting your faith in him, being baptized into Christ, repenting of your sins, right? Or maybe for some of you, if you've already done that, if you've already crossed that threshold, then maybe for some of you, it's just renewing your faith in him. You just need to get with the Lord and say, Lord, I've not been trusting in you. I've been trusting in my own devices and in my own strength. I've leaned on my own understanding, but I've not put you where you need to be. You're the one I need to follow. Maybe you just need to let him know and yourself know that I'm renewing my faith in you, Lord God, that I'm going to put my trust in you completely. And this part of the service is a great time for that to happen. Communion is a great place for you and I to do this. This gives us an opportunity not only to remember the body and the blood of Christ, how he defeated sin for us, paid for our sins, no doubt. That's what we see in these emblems. But it's also an opportunity for us to pull back and say, because of that, Lord God, I want to assess my walk with you. What do I need to do differently? What have I done that's kind of put me on a different course? How do I course correct and make sure that I get back on track with you? And so this bread, this cup, it's a reminder that Jesus went through tough things for you and for me. Think about this. Jesus took off the robe of heaven in exchange for flesh. Why would you do that? Unless you love, unless you're God that cares for those that really needed it. And he did. He cared for us. Took off the robe of heaven, exchanged it for flesh. Took off the crown of heaven and exchanged it for a crown of thorns. He walked away from the angels glorifying him. The angels around the throne that never stopped saying, glory, glory, glory is the Lord, or holy, holy, holy rather, is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. He walked away from all that and went to a cross where he'd heard people say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And he died on that cross because of our sins. But because he did that, our sins were paid in full. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, and he died, Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So what do we do with our life? Our life has very little to do with us, has everything to do with Jesus. It has everything to do. Whatever you do right now, even if it's putting widgets together, you do it unto the glory of God. I'm telling you, you're doing it unto him. It's ministry. It is ministry. What do we do with our life? We give it to the Lord. Lord, my life is yours. Do with me whatever you want. Show me what you need me to do. And I'm telling you, day to day, no matter where you're at, whatever you're doing, it will be ministry. And so today, as you partake of these emblems, whether it's down here in the front at these tables or in the tables in the back, whether you take the emblems and partake of them here at the table, or you take them back to your seat and just kind of take a little more time, or even if you go to the tables off to the side and say, yeah, I just feel like I just need to get on my knees and just thank the Lord, you know, and I just need to get with him. Maybe that's what you need to do. No matter how you do it, as you partake today, give the Lord thanks for his sending his son Jesus as a sacrifice for us. Give him thanks for that. But also too, renew your faith in him. Renew your trust in him. And make him the one that you follow, that you're going to act righteously before, the one that you're going to obey, and the one that you're going to trust. As you do that today, maybe you need someone to pray with you. I'll be right down here. Jim will be over here as well. If you need someone to pray with you, we'd be happy to pray with you. If you have got some prayers and somebody was asking about, hey, what are the nails all about at the back of the table? Maybe you're like, I'm kind of curious about that myself. Those nails, you'll see some Sharpies back there. We encourage you, if you've got some prayer requests, write a word or two, a phrase or something that will fit on that nail, and just put it on the cross. That cross represents a ton of prayers that people are praying right now. And as you sit there, you may go, Lord, I don't know what all is written there, but I'm going to pray for those, whatever those are. You know what they are. I'm praying for your answers to those prayers. And if you've got an answer to one of those nails, we invite you to drop it in the jar. It's a great reminder that God still answers our prayer. Still answers, even today, answers our prayer. So we encourage you that as you get up, if you need to see us about baptism, we'll be off to the side. If you need to see us about joining the church, come and see us. We'll tell you how to do all of that as well. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be able to kind of, with a fine-tooth comb, pick through Joseph's life. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we get to not only see his life, but compare ours with his. And to find out, what do we do when we go through tough situations, when we go through tough things? And so, Father, I pray that you would begin to speak to us, Father God. Lord, that we would be righteous before you. That we would trust you more than anyone else, even more than ourselves, Father God. And that we would obey what you say in your word. Help us to follow your plan, Lord God. Your plan is always better than our plan. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us through that. Lord, that you might be glorified in it. And so now, Lord, we come before you today and we just thank you. Thank you for your son, Jesus, that has defeated sin, has taken our sin, paid for it in full. Father, we thank you for that. We could never have done that ourselves. That hurdle was way too big for us to cross. And so, Father, we give you thanks and praise for that. But Father, we recognize that we still live in a world where sin exists. One day you'll step in and you'll make it all right. But until then, Father, I pray you'd help us to navigate how, Lord God, to live for you. Show us what that looks like, Father God. And on the other end, may we also encourage and bless and minister to the people around us, that we might use what we go through to show you who you are, or show them who you are, Lord God, so they might know you and might know your name, and your name might be made great among people. That's what we ask for in the name of Jesus. So, Father, bless us now as we partake of these emblems. And we thank you, Lord God, for your sacrifice. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.